Welcome to the Abundant Life Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by our guest speaker. For more information about Abundant Life Church, please visit www.abundantlifechurch.org.
So our first speaker this morning is going to be, we did this multi-generational again, so little brother Dominic Carini will be our first speaker. After him, we're going to hear from brother Joe Thorpe. After brother Joe Thorpe, brother Matt Lauersdorf. After brother Matt Lauersdorf, somebody elected Matthew Cordle. It's going to come up. Very, very self-serving. He's got lots of great things to say. Brother Justin Mitchell will be after Matthew. And then brother Dennis Matucci will wrap us up for our lineup today. So we're looking forward to hearing. Why don't we stand this morning as some of these folks come in. And as we're kind of getting settled and they're going to come up. You can come up, take a pew if you want. Otherwise, you can sprint up here after each one. Amen? All right. Why don't we give a big hand to these guys that have taken the effort and want to honor our dads this morning. Thank you, guys. All right. That is a great-looking bunch. And hopefully we have Dominic in the room. Oh, there he is. He snuck up on me. Okay, buddy. She's all on and ready to go. All right.
Morning. I'm a little nervous. My name is Dominic Carini, if you didn't know. I have something for Father's Day. A dad is a very important person in life. When you're struggling, they will help you in tough times, and a dad can give you work with him. That's what makes work so special. I go to work with my dad. I don't like it sometimes, but after I work, I end up thinking, why did I make a big deal about going to work? He ends up taking me for something, or like paying me. I learn a few things about when I work with him. Sometimes I make my dad's workers laugh. It's always fun because my dad makes me really happy, and he's truly the world's best dad.
Good job. I know when I was asked to do this, the ladies did an awesome job all the way from the littlest ones to everybody else on Mother's Day. So this will be hard to kind of top basically what Brother Cordell said as far as what was said. So what I've chosen to do is in my life look back and kind of take a generational change that I saw in my life growing up. And so I'm going to start there. But what I chose to kind of talk on is three words: I love you. And I know that's been discussed in some of the messages recently where that was not said a whole lot. And so in my path here, I see the change that took place in my life. And so looking at this, obviously love is a pretty important word, and there's a lot of parallels. A lot of scriptures talk about love, and then being a father, obviously our Heavenly Father has a lot of parallels. So we discuss what we see as fathers in our lives. So there's so many different angles to take here, but I'm just going to take one. So the word love in the Merriam-Webster dictionary says strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties, unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. My first scripture is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love and endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful, is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag or is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, nor overly sensitive or eagerly angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes. Believes all things, looking best in each one of us. Love hopes for all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times. Love endures all things without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades or ends. I'll start this with kind of history of my grandfather. My grandfather was not a very good father to my dad. He was in and out of their lives and was not around, had anger problems. He was in the Korean War as well, and such suffered from PTSD as we know it today. So my dad never heard the words, "I love you," from his dad. And so it was rare to have any interaction with his father, and they had a strained relationship, even though my dad tried for many years until his passing. Now I'd like to move on to my father. My father, based on his background, not having a father in his life, as a young teenager in the early 20s, started into getting into trouble with criminal activity. It changed one day when he met my mother, who brought him to church. And we grew up in the Madison area, so he received the Holy Ghost and was baptized in Jesus' name and turned his life around. So the love of Christ changed his life. So he decided, as when he had children, that he was going to change his family tree, that love was going to be a part of the family, and saying "I love you" was going to be a part of something that he said. My dad worked long hours. He worked for a seed company, so in the spring there was planting, in the fall there was harvest. But besides having those difficult long hours, he always made time to play wiffle ball in the backyard, always made time to come to our concerts for school, parent-teacher conferences, and any kind of sporting events. And I have a picture of him, so if you could put that up, please. This is his birthday last year. So, one of the things that some memories that my father taught me was the importance of going to church and serving God. My father made rare excuse for not to be in church. Early on, he drove Sunday school bus. He led song service with a very bass tone voice. He served in the church as a trustee for about 30 years. He volunteered at church camp with a project they had going on. And he encouraged me to be a servant as well. And he led by example. He frequently stated that he loved his children. And this is true even when I didn't like that, after being corrected for something I did wrong. Every night before bed, we always had family prayer, and he'd always say he loved us. Quiet of the night, we had a smaller house, rooms were pretty close. He would always yell out to each of us, "He loved us." When he was in the wrong, he apologized, and that meant a lot to me. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Love covers a multitude of sins." James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another." And he certainly has lived that. My father also wanted to give us good childhood memories. Every spring, he'd get the map out. This is a long time ago. And he would say, "Where should we go on a family vacation?" Those family vacations involved trips to Florida, Alaska, Washington, D.C., Canada, just to name a few. Every place along the way, we stopped at historical locations, and we were always bored of it, but it was always memories that we had of places we went. My dad was a history nut, so everything was about history and things like that, and I have some recollection of having some history issues, too. Lauren can tell you about that. Some of the things my father taught me, from a work standpoint, is take care of your clothes and they'll take care of you. When you come home every night, you go down to the basement, you'd hang his clothes up, or if they're dirty, you put them in the laundry. Now, myself being a father, I enjoy being a father, and so our Heavenly Father certainly has enjoyed being a father to all of us based on how he's created us all individually. So I have two children that I'm a father of, and if you put that picture up, please. So Richard is on the left, Lauren is on the right. Fatherhood has been a great experience for me. You get to watch and teach an infant to grow into an adult. You get to teach a three-year-old son to say things like, "What are you?" And he'd say, "Cool dude," and put up his thumb. The opportunity for me started at a young age. I was 21. Bring home a child young was a big responsibility to take on. But I was determined to keep the legacy that my father gave me to make sure that my children knew that their father loved them and to teach them to serve God. Seeing both of them receive the Holy Ghost and be baptized in Jesus' name definitely was the greatest experience. I've tried to live a good example of service, attending church, church events, and also service, whether it's teaching Sunday school, ushering, or helping whenever there was a need. Things that I'd like to pass on as a father to other fathers: take your children wherever you go. They learn a lot. So I would take them to the gas station or take them to the store. Always took them with me. That's how they learn the life around them, things going on. It did backfire one time, though. Richard was about 10. I took him to the gas station. And that those days, because of the airbags, you had to sit in the back still. So he was in the back seat. I filled up the gas, went inside, paid, not knowing that he also had gone inside. I was looking at candy or something, and apparently he was standing right next to me, but I didn't see him, all the people there. Got in my car, and I drove away. We lived about a mile away. I thought he was in the back seat hiding as one of the pranks he was doing, but no, he was actually running out of the gas station as I drove away. I got home, got out of my car, looked in the back seat, and he wasn't there. That was panic. I got in my car, drove back down. This is before cell phones, so this is, you know, a long time ago. Drove back down what was pretty much a straightaway street for the most of it. And apparently at some point I must have passed him going, but I didn't see it. I was going back to the gas station. I get back to the gas station. He's booking it home the whole way. I get to the gas station, get inside. Hey, my son must have been in here. He's not in the car. Can I look at your video, camera system? They did have those back in those days. And so as we're trying to work that out, they said, yeah, we didn't see anybody. I'm like, all right, well, I'll head back home. Just as I'm pulling into our circle that we lived in, my son's running up to the house. He ran the whole way home. So I've never lived that down. So. Another thing that I pass on is whenever we go on vacation or events, our kids are always asking, can I get this, can I get that? And so finally I learned, I just give them $10, $20 and say, spend it however you want. If you don't want anything, you can save it. If you want to spend it all. If Lauren, if you want to get five things of cotton candy, you can get five things of cotton candy. That took a lot of pressure off me having to try to deal with that, so just passing that on. Personalities. Sometimes I learned that the suggestions I have were better served through their mother than me saying it. So. Fatherhood never ends. Neither should saying, I love you to your children. Now, in closing or wrapping things up here, I'm now a grandfather. And so recently, out visiting Richard, our son, I heard him telling his kids that he loved them. This made me proud that he's passing this on. So today and every day, you get a chance, tell your children that you love them. If things aren't good between you and your children or vice versa, and it may not be a comfortable thing to say, I would encourage you to change that today. Love is the open door that builds bonds and always allows issues to be resolved. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Luke 15:11 through 32, I won't read the whole thing, but it talks about the prodigal son. Even though the prodigal son, one of the two children left the house, took all their inheritance, the father still had love for his son. So that love was always there to allow him to return home. And the celebration began, even though he had wasted all his inheritance, his father still loved him. And his son must have known that because he came home. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We've all been prodigals at some point in our lives, but Christ still loves us. So in closing, love definition again. As a father, you should have strong affection for another rising out of the kinship and personal ties and unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of your children. Tell your children you love them as often as you can. I got this out of order here, so I got to have a little bit more here. So my pages got messed up, sorry. Everything I said is still true. As back to the childhood, I have some stories that are a little funny I'd like to share. Richard used to come here, as far as service goes, he'd come here, help me mow the lawn different times. Lauren, she was other things, teaching Sunday school. She was also now involved in prayer, so I'm very proud of that. Richard, some of you don't know him. He left right after high school, went into the Navy, and so he's been gone from here for about 10 years. And he went in the Navy, and now he's chosen to be a service in law enforcement. Lauren recently graduated in nursing, and she knows she's a registered nurse. One of the things that helped me as a father is the song Cats in the Cradle. That drove me to make sure that I was always involved with our children in their lives and that they didn't know who I was. One of the things that we have 10 service here, one of the things that helped me with knowing and dealing with my children was if I'm working on something or if I'm at work, if what I'm working on or doing isn't going to matter in 10 minutes, 10 hours, or 10 days, stop what I'm doing, go play with my kids, or make sure I make and be on time for their school events or whatever I need to be at. As a father, I also want to make memories of my children. I mentioned we went on a lot of trips with my parents and my dad. We didn't go as many trips, but we made other memories. Richard, every Saturday morning, he was an early riser, so was I. We'd go to Century and get donuts every Saturday morning, watch cartoons. On Sunday mornings, coming to church, he'd come with me. We'd stop at McDonald's, and that ended when in the Navy, but he sent me photos since on Sundays when he's picking up McDonald's, things like that. So, Lauren, when she gets sick, Panera soup always made her feel better. Tradition was flowers on her birthday for every year, however she was. Other memories, Richard had a paper route in middle school, and so we'd help him with that, and part of that route with the Walks of Freeman was these flowers that every house had to get. That wasn't for him. So sometimes he would get those done in record time, and I'm like, how'd you get so fast? Behind our house was an apartment complex, and there's a big dumpster, and a couple times I found whole bundles of those flyers in the dumpster. Lauren taught her them. I thought, you know, I trained Richard to mow the lawn. Lauren is old enough to mow the lawn. First time out there, you know, usually you go in straight lines. She was all over the lawn. I don't know if that's she was trying to get out of mowing the lawn or what. But. And one last thing, Lauren, when she was about 12, decided that it's been a long time since she'd been in the grocery cart as an infant. So two of us put her in the cart. She pretty much filled the whole cart based on her age. And one of us had the idea of just walking away. So here she was in this cart. She was too big to get up and get out, but almost too big to even get up because she filled the whole cart. So we came back and let her out, as you can see. So that's all I had. So.
How do I follow that? Well, thank you, Pastor Cordero, for asking me to speak on being a father. I'm a young father. I'm very thankful. I'm going to have to read my notes a bit. It's a little embarrassing. I'm very thankful to be a father. This is hard. Not knowing if I would even be a father. God, in his great mercy and blessing, I have become a father. I do want to talk a little bit about my dad. He's a great man. A very hard worker. He loved God. He's loyal. He loved us all. I want to copy his life. There's also a great man, his brother Bishop Kiley. The one I have gone to for advice on many things. I learned a lot from Brother Bishop Kiley. And the greatest example would be how he treated your wife. Okay, that's enough. And here's the funny part. And then there's my father-in-law, Wally, another great man. I learned that there must be order in a household and too much information about pine trees. While dating his daughter, he enlightened me in what was and what was not allowed. Wally was more than willing to show me all of his gun collection, remind me that his trees need more fertilizer. If I broke his rules, well, yeah. I now have a daughter myself, and I know how well I'll treat anyone who wants to date my Ella. But I do have a warning for fathers. Make sure you prioritize your life. God first, family, and then work. I messed up on that a little bit. Watching my father, following him, he worked all the time. I thought that's how you do it. Provide, make sure that the kids get everything they want, your wife. I work as a garbage man. I put a lot of hours in. And I decided, well, you know what? We could use more stuff around the house. Hey, jobs. Too many. This gets me. So I finished my full-time job, went up to my part-time job, working at a house, and ministered hours, kept going, and got a call. It's my daughter crying. Dad, when are you coming home? Shut everything down. Drive home. Try not to cry. But I cried. And I prayed. I said, God, forgive me. I don't want to be like that. I promised God to get my priorities in line. My kids got to come first. Because they are a blessing of God. They truly are. I think I was going to do this. God is truly good. I stopped taking all the side jobs. God keeps blessing me. This is money. I don't worry. I can't. God knows. He supplies. So, hey, it is very important at night. But Thorpe touched on it. Pray with your kids before you go to bed. They got it on God. And then tell them you love them. Because your time is never promised to you. And you never know. I am truly blessed and thankful for all the men and fathers who are here. Watching over my kids, that's such a blessing. This family of God is strong. Yeah. We must keep it strong. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well, I was a little surprised to hear that I was asked to talk today. So you all know my father is your pastor, and I agree with him. It's a little self-serving. but I'm going to talk about him anyway. So, all right. So, there's a few of you who probably have known my dad since he was a teenager, Brother Mattson, Bishop Kiley. Some of you may have only recently walked into the church in the past few months and met him, or you're somewhere in between. But I've known my father my whole life, obviously. And, wow, there's a lot you can learn from your father, and that's what fathers are for. They teach you important things in your life and raise you to be great men and women. For my dad has one daughter. All right. Yeah. I've heard a lot of stories of my dad from his young age. He joined first stepped into a church at a very young age. Thanks to Sister Unz, who used to go here, she met with my grandmother and invited her to church, and because of that, I'm very thankful to have a father who raised me in the Apostolic Church. We wouldn't have our fathers if it wasn't for grandparents. And ever since my dad first stepped into church, he's been studying the Word as much as he can. And I know of a binder that he keeps. I'm not sure where it is in the house right now, but I know he still has it, of all of his notes from, 30-some years now. The most surprising thing that my dad has ever done is he had me, his fifth child, at the age of 32, which is surprising. So, sometimes I wonder, why the fifth child? It's okay. I get it. But a lot of you have probably heard from either my father or my oldest brother, Kyle, about the story of my birth and how much of a, how scary of a day that was for them, and just the miracle that God has blessed my father with for me to be even standing here today. Now, obviously, I don't remember that day, but I can't imagine the fear and the terror that my parents went through. When I came out of the womb, I wasn't even breathing. And the doctors said it was a miracle to even have me alive today. And even the fact that I can even speak normal or behave normal is a miracle in itself too. So thank God for that. My father has also done a lot of things that he's fought for. I know that my dad learned how to drive manual. I think it's so that people wouldn't steal his vehicle. So I hope one day that he teaches me how to drive stick. My father has also fought for all of the jobs that he's had that God has provided him with. I know he He was a salesman at one point. He worked for Yellow Pages, and he worked at this food distribution place called Cisco. It was always cool when Dad came home with food from there because of his subordinates breaking boxes. The greatest thing I think I can learn from my father is perseverance, because through all of the struggles that my father has went through in his life, he has persevered through it all and had faith that God would supply for him. I remember back when I was about 4 years old, or somewhere around there, my parents went through a lawsuit. And I remember the log cabin that they tried to buy, but it wasn't a very stable foundation. And so I remember the small apartment that we had to live in. I remember that basement and growing up with my siblings there. And through it all, my dad kept the faith. He kept working hard and raising his wonderful children. And now God has supplied us with a wonderful house that we've lived in for the past 11 years. And I thank him, thank God for that. And I thank God for the amazing father that raised me to be the great man I am today. So, if there's anything you can learn from your pastor, it's to persevere, keep the faith, and eventually God will provide for you whatever your need is. Amen. Amen.
I already know I'm going to need these. So if you know my dad, you know I have a great example of a father, hard worker. See, I told you I was going to need these. Love God, love your family. Being younger, I hated it going to the nursing home because he had a nursing home ministry, and it was just weird as a young person. But 20 plus years of doing that, you don't realize it at the time, but he's teaching you to be involved in the things of God, and I appreciate that. For those of you that don't know, when I got married, I instantly became a stepdad, and that was very hard. Early on, I'd tell my wife, go tell Noah this, go tell Taylor that. She's, you're the dad, you do it. Right, I know, but never wanted them to think that I was the angry stepdad and correcting them not out of love. And this isn't a testament to me, this is a testament to God's values, Christian core values. My daughter's boyfriend recently bought a house, and I was doing a lot of work there, and we were talking, and he comes from a split home, and he thanked me for the way that Taylor turned out. It's not me, that's Christian values. And that's somebody who doesn't even go to church. And like I said, that's not a credit to me. So, enough crying. So Psalms 127:3 says in different versions, it says that children are a heritage, a reward, or a gift from God. And I got thinking about that. And I know that having children is a great responsibility. But when you start to think about the gifts that God gives us, and you look through Scripture, the gift of the Holy Ghost, he gives us spiritual gifts and talents. And when I think about that, I think I need to do a better job as a father. And recently we said, you know what? We're going to put all electronics down and we're going to spend time just together. boys need to work on reading. And some time had passed, and Nathaniel said, Daddy, thought we were going to put the phone down. You're right, Nate. You're right. I'm sorry. I apologize. So I have a lot of memories of my dad, and they, for my benefit, are good. But our children aren't going to have any memories if we don't do stuff with them, any good memories, you know? I wouldn't have the memories I have with my father if he wouldn't have took the time for me. The other thing is that I've learned that you have to ask for forgiveness because I'm not perfect, and I'm an open book, so I'm just going to spill it. So my wife was working. My parents were picking us up for a Wednesday night, and I'm rushing the kids along, and I'm trying to get them in there, not listening. All chaos is going on. And in my anger, I gave the door a little kick, and I put a hole in the basement door, and I've been reminded before about that. But the thing that my dad taught me is that when you make mistakes, you go to your children and you ask for forgiveness. And I've had to do that over and over and tell them, don't act like daddy. Don't do what daddy does. Daddy's a bad example here. And I've had to ask for forgiveness. I think it was last summer, we're all golfing minus Taylor. And we're trying to hit the ball as far as we can at the driving range. And again, Nathaniel comes up to me because he wants me to beat Noah. And he says, Daddy, why don't you get really, really angry like that time you smashed my PS4 and just crushed the ball? I'm like, yeah, Nathaniel, thank you for that. There's also a time when they were younger and they were like, don't hover over them, I'd yell at them. So I'm in, I don't even remember which boy I was talking to, and I'm correcting them. And I literally got pimp slapped by one of them, just boop, boom. And it's like, wait a minute here. This is like, I'm supposed to, this is not supposed to happen. I'm supposed to get on their level and they're supposed to pay attention. That's basically how being a parent is you get slapped sometimes once in a while by your kids, I guess. But the other point that I want to make, a very important point, is that, and I've learned this from my dad, is that we need to pray for protection over our family. And I don't know all the other instances, but I can give you two instances. God woke me up in the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep. I'm like, all right, God, I'll just start praying. I don't know who I'm praying for, and I was stuck on Taylor. So pray for her. Go to bed. We get a phone call Sunday morning. She was hurt at work. They're rushing in the freighter. And we're like, oh my goodness, here we go. This can't be good. And of course, you know, baby girl's hurt, so mama's freaking out. And it's like, you know what? I told my wife, I said, well, let's just calm down here. It can't be as bad as we're thinking because I prayed for Taylor last night. I was stuck on her name. So we get the freighter. And it ends up being just that she needs stitches in her leg, but a lot of weight fell on it, and they thought that she was just going to have a really, really broken leg. So, you know, God intervened in that situation. The other one is that, that's why it's so important to pray for protection for your family. The other one is we get a phone call, again, Sunday morning. Noah and my brother-in-law, Josh, were in a bad accident. He hit a tree. He flipped. Josh was in the hospital with bleeding on the brain. Noah wasn't too injured. So my brother-in-law ended up being okay. But later on in the week, I get the boys in the car, and we drive over, because it wasn't far from our house, to the tree that Noah had hit. And I realized that three trees down, there was another tree that there was four students from South Division High School that were on that same road, and they hit that tree, and they actually all died. So I looked at Noah, and I said, Noah, you know the difference between this tree and that tree? And he said, no. And I said, it's because somebody was praying for protection for you. So you want to have your children have good memories, spend time with them. Ask for forgiveness, because I'm not perfect. And always pray for your family.
Well, first, I have to ask Pastor for forgiveness. I lied. He asked me this morning, are you nervous? I said, no. So forgive me for lying. Being a husband and a father, is a great blessing. And I want to start with my dad. He was born in 1911. His name is Gerardo. His brother was Tulio, and his other brother was Arturo. But they call him Jerry, Art, and Tully. He lived through the Depression in 1929. There was no work, no money, no income, and that really weighed heavy on him. And that's how because of that, he was very conservative through his whole life. And I think I picked up on that. And everything he did was, don't waste your money, take care of the family, and God comes first. So that's how I grew up. Everybody I knew in Kenosha, Wisconsin was Catholic. We had a huge Italian family, all my cousins. Everybody lived within 5 miles, and they were all Catholic. So my dad, we always went to church every Sunday. There was no discussion about going to a ball game first or this or that. We always knew, get up, get dressed, go to church. So that was always first in our life, and then family was second. And we didn't have a lot of money, so when he'd come back to school, they'd say, what would you do in the summer? All we could say was, well, we visited relatives because everybody else was going to Florida or whatever. We visited family. You know what? We had a great time. My cousin, I had a bunch of cousins my age, and we were all Catholic, and we were all no arguments, no drunks, no nothing. Everybody got along well, and I think back now how fortunate I was to have family that we really didn't have any issues. But we all put God first, and they all obeyed God. So church was always important. My dad belonged to the Holy Name Society. That was for all the men in the church. So once a month, all the men and their sons would sit in the front of the church all together, and that mass was for them, and we prayed for all the fathers. And I always look forward to that. Then afterwards, we all walked. Catholics were big in processions. We all walk in procession to the school and have our men's breakfast, which that's why I like it so much now. It reminds me of my childhood. But it was always a blessing to me. And at the after men's breakfast, the priest would say some prayers, and then they show us a movie about the apostles or disciples or something about Christ, and I always look forward to that. So that was the basis of our family. God's first. We obeyed all the church rules, and we didn't, nobody looked at the, had a Bible at that time. The Catholic Church really didn't want you to have a Bible. So one good thing my parents did was they sent me to the Catholic school. And I remember being in first grade, nobody had a Bible. They didn't teach you out of the Bible. They had a religion book. And but what happened was the nuns would tell you a Bible story. And I look so forward to hearing those Bible stories. So when I was in first grade, I remember being in bed that night, and I prayed to God, Jesus, I want to be in heaven with you. That's all I said. And he answered my prayer about 20 years later. He knew what he had to do. He had to get me out of Kenosha, away from my 100 relatives, who were all Catholic. And after I got out of the Air Force, Jan and I got married after 2 years in the Air Force and moved to Milwaukee because I was fortunate to get a job at We Energies. And I had to move to Milwaukee. And it's funny because I didn't want to leave Kenosha when I was a kid. I said, I'll never leave Kenosha. Well, We Energies offered me a job in Milwaukee. Okay, we'll go to Milwaukee. So we did that. And God knew what he had to do with me. When we were in the Air Force, Jan and I stopped going to church in the Air Force. And then when I got out, we started going to church. But God knew what he had to do. He got Jan a job at Viltolk and Pontiac. Remember the singing Pontiacs and those things? She was the receptionist there, right? And they would have discussions about religion. And a good friend of ours, Joe Bartoloni, was a born-again Christian. And the guys were arguing about the stuff in the Bible, but Joe, they asked Joe, come out here. He knows what he's talking about. And Joe would just quote some scripture. He'd never argue with him. He just would quote scripture. Anyway, Jan started going to his wife's Bible studies. And that's how we got into this way. I was stubborn, though. I was a Catholic, and she started going to the Bible studies in their church. And I said, I'm not going to buy you donuts if you don't go to church with me. But she'd come home from church all smiling and happy, and the kids were happy, and I was ticked. But we started going to couples Bible studies, and that turned me around, and that was the best thing that ever happened to our family. So I think God knows what he's doing. You know, I don't know what I'm doing, but he does. So I trust in the Lord to direct my path all the time. If I don't, I screw up. So Dad was the boss of the family, though. What he said went. He said, your mother buys the furniture, I pick out the cars. So one day I bought the very first, SUV that came out, the Chrysler, Plymouth made it, Plymouth Voyager. And I came over to his house, he goes, wow, I want one of these. This is great for our trips to Boston to visit the families. We always say visit families. I'm going to get one of these. Okay. A few months go by, I go over there, he's got a Ford Taurus. I says, I thought you wanted the SUV. Well, your mother didn't want to drive that car. So I thought you bought the cars. Well, you know. So she had the last say in that one there. So, but he was a hard worker. He had three jobs that I remember. He worked at Cooper's in Kenosha. They made jockey underwear. We always had underwear with numbers on them because it was in the dye house. They had lot numbers. So you'd go to school and Jim would say, what's those numbers on your underwear? Long story. So he worked at Cooper's. He drove a school bus, and he also had a four-piece band for 50 years. They played weddings. My dad was a drummer, his brother on the guitar, and his other brother on the saxophone. And when Brother Mitchell plays his saxophone, I think about my uncle and his saxophone. It sounds the same. I always loved that sound. And their friend was accordion. So 50 years, every Saturday, they were booked for a wedding somewhere. And he always loved, you know, the Dean Martin show. And he could never see his shows on Saturday night because he had to go play. And that always, he always felt bad. And we had no recorders back then, so he just never got to see him. But that's how family came first. He had to do whatever it took to make sure we were taken care of. And I was surprised when he sent me to Catholic school. My other siblings went to private schools, but I went to the Catholic school. And I look back now, I think that's one of the best things that ever happened. We never looked at the Bible, but they kept talking about Christ and the apostles and that. And that what got me, my attention. I want to be with Jesus. So one thing that I mentioned earlier about hugging and saying I love you. In my family, nobody ever hugged anybody. Nobody ever said I love you. That's how I grew up. But we knew everybody loved each other. We just knew it. You know, actions spoke louder than words. So we just never did that. And then when Ron and Jenny came along, they would tell each other that they love them. They would teach their children that they loved them. And now the grandchildren come up to us and say, I love you, Grandpa. It means so much. So I apologize to my wife because I hardly ever said I loved her. I feel like your actions speak louder than words. But Jan, I love you. And I'm sorry. So anyway, I went to Holy Rosary and I met Jan. We dated for 5 years. I don't know if we didn't know if we were going to get it right or not, but in 1970, we got married. And my daughter was born in 72, and Ron was born in 75. We wanted three children, but you would think Jan was giving birth to elephants. I mean, she was in the hospital for everything. No, I mean, women are going in and out, in and out. We're still there. We're still there days later for crying out loud. So I said, that's it. Ron's the last one. We're not having any more. So Ron, you're the last one. But I tried to carry my dad's tradition on of family comes first. We did try to do things together. We went camping. Ron always tried to climb a tree. I thought, I don't believe in evolution. What is this? He's climbing trees all the time. But no. But we did things together. I took the kids to Brewer games. Jan hated baseball. She didn't want to go. But I always had a rule. Kids, I buy a big bag of peanuts for a buck on the outside of the stadium. This was County Stadium. Get that. And the rule was you'd get that, and inside I'll buy you a soda. That's the rule. Okay? We went to see the game. So that's what we did. Went fine. Then one day Jan decided she wanted to come. You don't like baseball. Well, she wants to be with the kids. Okay, she comes. She violated all my rules. She flagged down every vendor that came through the place. That's a cute ball game. She can't read my glasses. Anyway, my dad would always take us to, we had a rivalry in the family, Cubs fans and Brave fans. Two of us were Cubs fans and four of us were Brave fans. And we always go to Cub Brave games. And back there, you go to a doubleheader, and in 4 hours, everything was done. I mean, 2 hours each game, you don't have to pay twice. It was nice. Well, we'd always sit in the bleachers. That's what my dad could afford. So what? It was fine. We appreciated being able to go to the game. So we were in the bleachers. Remember Warren Spahn? We were trying to get a ball from him. Back then, you couldn't get a ball if you gave him $100. They wouldn't give you a ball. Hey, Spahnie, throw us a ball. I went, but your dad's a grouch. He wouldn't throw us a ball. Today, every ball goes in the stadium after every pitch, for crying out loud. But we always sat in the bleachers, and I used to sit there as a kid and go, I wish I could sit up during those mezzanine things up behind home plate and first base. Well, one day I got some vendor gave me two tickets for the mezzanine, so I took Ron, taking my son, we're going to get to sit in the mezzanine. Remember that, Ron, sitting in the mezzanine? So we're up there watching the game, and Ron goes, hey, Dad, how come we can't sit out there in the outfield? I said, for a crying, you can't win. So anyway, we would do that. So that's the mezzanine thing. Jan would work at Phil Token Pontiac. We need some extra money. So she would work there on Friday nights and Saturday, right? And I'd watch the kids then. Well, Friday nights was the big night. We'd have me and the kids, popcorn, Dukes of Hazzard, Incredible Hulk. That was our Friday nights, boy. We look forward to that all the time. It was great fun. So, always enjoyed having fun with the kids. I try to lead by example. That saying, do as I say, not as I do, doesn't apply. I say, do as I say, and do as I do. I try to lead by example. And I remember one time in Whitefish Bay, Ron was riding his bike, and he went through a stop sign, and a cop caught him. And I come home from work, and the phone rings. It's a police officer. What's this about? Your son ran a stop sign, and I just want to let you know that he did that. That was wrong, and he's got to go to this class or something or whatever. Well, were you about 10 or something? 5, 7, whatever? He started bawling. He thought I was going to kill him. I said, Ron, relax. I taught you to go through the stop sign, so how can I be mad at you? So don't worry about it. Just go to the class and consider it a lesson, okay? So that was the bike story. But I always wanted to make sure my kids knew God. And we went to church all the time. We were faithful. And I want to make sure they made good decisions. My daughter was in high school, well, teenagers, I'll tell you. She started dating this guy. I guess he was real popular in school. He was a handsome dude. But his attitude was lousy. He respected nobody. He didn't listen to parents. I said, I want you home by whatever it was, 11:15. 11:20, she got him. I said, I told you, I want you home by 11 o'clock. Well, I told him that, but he didn't listen. Well, you straighten him out and tell him I want 11 o'clock. Next time she went out with the school kids and him, got home like 11:15 or 11:10. I said, that's not 11 o'clock. I want you home at 11 o'clock. You got to straighten this dude out. He didn't care about anything but himself. So he wanted her to come over and watch a movie in his house. I said, no way. He wants to watch a TV, come over to our house. So he comes over. It's me and Jan and Ron and Cindy and this dude. And we watched something on TV. And after it was over, he just gets up, walks TV set, and switches the channel and puts on, what was it? Saturday Night Live. I looked at Cindy. I looked at him. I said, we don't watch Saturday Night Live. And I went over there and put the channel back, and I looked at her and gave her my look. And she knew, I better change. So she dumped him, and she said, I'm waiting for Scott. Well, Scott is Bill and Shirley's son. And we went to the same church, and we hung together, and we all loved God together. She said, I'm waiting for Scott. So I don't know what prompted Scott, but all of a sudden they started dating. And that's history. She married Scott, and they have three great kids. And Ron married Jennifer, and they have three great kids. They listened to me. I says, I want six grandchildren, and I got six grandchildren. Thank you. But I'm thankful to God that my children are in church, in this church, and born-again Christians. They go to church every Sunday, and they take part, they participate in everything in church. And I just want to read one scripture that I found when I was reading Proverbs. Pastor Kylie told me once, he says, we were up golfing, but we were golfing for 30. He said, Proverbs has 31 chapters. Let's pick the date. It was the 20th or something. And we read the Proverbs 20 because it was the 20th. I thought, oh, that's pretty neat. Proverbs, there's 31 Proverbs, 31 days in a month. Read one a month. Well, I was reading this one here in the 23rd Proverb, 24th and 25th verse. It says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy in him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Your mother and father are rejoicing. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can all stand this morning. Praise the Lord. Put a little extra time in this morning, but definitely worth it. It just goes to show you that we have a tremendous family of God. This church is the body, and you're the body. We've got great moms that are doing everything they can in this crazy world that we live in to instill in their children the values and keep their home peaceful and do all that they can to raise them righteously before God's eyes. And you have wonderful men, fathers, who are doing everything they can to protect their families, protect their lives, and provide, protect their homes, and stay bound together. But this whole exercise should tell you one thing. We've got an awesome family of God. We have a wonderful family. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm very proud of the men of this church. And if I have one thing to say, and I'm not preaching, we're going to close here and we're going to come down and spend some time at the altar before we depart to our cookouts, etc., and all the things we're going to do for Dad today. But it's this. Men of the church, fathers, you've got to be strong. And you've got to continue to be strong. Be the men of your households. Be the protectors of your wives and your children. Lead your families. Because as we go forward and times get more challenging and society and all the things that culture is starting to teach us is reversing these roles, and it's reversing God's word, and it's challenging us to do things contrary to what God wants us to do. And so I'm challenging you men, you fathers and men-to-be, grandfathers, continue to lead. Continue to be strong in the word, strong for your families, strong for your church family. As I mentioned to you when I started out this whole thing, I didn't have a father figure in my life. But there was a man who saw a need, who said, hey, this young guy needs someone in his life, and stepped up. He was my Sunday school teacher, my youth leader. We spent many, many hours together. He took me fishing and did things for me just to be that presence in my life. It's incredibly, incredibly important. Let's bind together. Let's continue to lead, men. Be strong presence in our homes, strong presence in our church, examples to our children. Bring them to the altars when it's altar call time at our services. Show them what a praying, worshiping father looks like every single day. Amen. All right, we're very privileged and very blessed, and I'm glad to know some of these incredible things. The Bible says, happy is a man with a quiver full, and I've been very blessed with my quiver full, my five. Some of you have one, some three. Some spent hours and hours in the hospital, apparently, birthing zoo livestock or something. I'm just not ever going to forget that. Believe me, I know labor can be very, very long. My dear wife experienced some long labors as well. But it is a wonderful privilege to be a father, to be a dad, and I'm very privileged myself. And so everything I didn't know about being a father, I learned from some great men of God who decided that they were going to be an example in the church. And you can do the same. Amen? All right. Why don't we open the altar this morning? If your dad is here, if your grandpa's here, or you just want to come down and spend some time with your family, your children, and just love God for what he's done to bless us, the word that he's given us, the traditions that he's given us from his word, and the blessing it is to be a father today. Amen? All right. God bless you all. This altar is open. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Abundant Life Church podcast. We pray it has strengthened your relationship with God and will continue to be a light unto your pathway to heaven. If you have any questions or comments regarding this podcast, please telephone our ministerial team at 262-965-5177 or email us at info@abundantlifechurch.org.